Who Really is a Disciple? Mark chapter 8, verses 27 to 34. Today's Bible verses come from Mark chapter 8, verses 27 to 34. Jesus and his disciples left Galilee and went up to the villages near Caesarea Philippi. As they were walking along, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" "Well," they replied, "some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say you are one of the other prophets." Then he asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Peter replied, "You are the Messiah." But Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Then Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but 3 days later he would rise from the dead. As he talked about this openly with his disciples, Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him from saying such things. Jesus turned around and looked at his disciples, then reprimanded Peter. "Get away from me, Satan," he said. "You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's." Then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me." About the AD 64, there was an anti-Christianity movement. City of Rome became a river of fire. The Emperor Nero lit the fire in the city of Rome because he did not know what to do to cast out the Christianity. As the city of Rome got burning, he claimed that the Christians lit the fire. So the anti-Christianity movement has started. At that time, he put the Christians in the sports stadium and put the starved lions in the stadium with them. The starved lions bit the Christians and killed them. At that time, when Peter was fleeing away from Rome to protect himself, the image of the Lord with the cross on his back appeared to Peter. Peter knelt down before the Lord and said, "Quibatis Domini, Lord, where are you going?" "Quibatis Domini, Lord, where are you going now?" "I am going to go to the city of Rome to carry the cross on my back again that you have left behind." Peter cried out and said, "Lord, I will go back there." Peter went back to the city of Rome and comforted the Christians who were being tortured and who were having a hard time. "How could I? The Lord was hung on the cross, and how could I be there on the cross in the same way as the Lord was? How could I? Please hang me on the cross upside down." He requested it, so he was on the cross, upside down, and was martyred. The life that lives for the Lord is the happiest for the person who loves the Lord. It was like that for the disciples of Jesus, and it was like that for the people of the early church. Stephen was preaching the gospel and was hit by the stones, and was killed while spreading the gospel. But his eyes were on the Lord, who was on the right side of him, and his face was shining like a face of an angel. He regarded the torture and torment that he was going through was the glorious thing for the Lord, and even though he lost his house and work because of the name of the Lord, he did not betray the name of the Lord. It was like that in Smyrna Church and Philadelphia Church, because they loved the Lord. This is a life of a true disciple of the Lord. What is our purpose of life within us today? Am I living a life for my own self? Are we living lives for ourselves? Are we living our lives for the Lord? The sad thing is that we have a lot of people in the church, but it is very hard to look for a disciple. Who truly is a disciple? Is that a person who eagerly attends the church services? Is that a person who gives a large amount of offerings? Is that a person who serves in the ministry passionately? Number. A true disciple is a person that loves the Lord. A life of a true disciple has a different perspective of life, has a different direction, and has a different goal. After the Pentecost, the disciples' center of their lives has been changed from the self-centered lives to the Lord-centered lives. Their time, their belongings, and their lives, that they once thought these were their own possessions, they later confessed that these are all the Lord's. The way to become a true disciple does not only have glory, but has a difficult way, and it also could be a way of death at times. But it is following Jesus gloriously, because we got to know that that is the way to the eternal life. The Lord wants us to be His true disciples. The Bible passages of today ask two things from us. The first thing is, who really is a true disciple? And the other thing is that He showed what a life of a disciple should be like. The Lord asked the disciples, "What do the people say who I am?" John the Baptist, Elijah, one of the prophets. "Then what do you say who I am?" When he asked this question, he confessed that the Lord is Christ, the Son of living God. The Lord said that they will bear the cross on their back later. Peter did not understand what that meant, and held on to Jesus and said, "I will not stand still and do nothing, so you'll not bear the cross on your own." How faithful and loyal was his confession. But Lord told him off, "Go and flee Satan, you do not think of the work of the Lord and you think of the work of the humans." And he said in verse 34, "Then, calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, 'Whoever wants to follow me, they need to leave themselves, and hold their own cross and follow the Lord.'" The Lord wants us all to be good disciples. Then who really is a true disciple? Firstly, as verse 29 has clearly defined, it is a person who is certain that Jesus is the Lord. It is a person whose confession of faith is firm. The Lord said to the disciples, "When I asked the people of what they say about who I am, they said that they call me John the Baptist, Elijah, and one of the prophets. Then you disciples, what do you call who I am?" It has been shown in verse 29 in our today's passages. Does not matter what other people say, our own confession is important. The Lord wanted us to make our own confessions of faith. He wanted each of His disciples to confess this from their hearts. In faith, two types of confessions need to be clear. That is the original essence of faith and identity. Firstly, it is the conviction of salvation. There is only one way to the salvation. The Lord is Christ, and a Son of living God. As verse 29 has shown, the Lord is the only way, peace, rest, and He is the only answer of life. A person is a real disciple if that person firmly confesses this. There are a lot of people who believe in religious pluralism these days. They say Jesus is the one of the many ways. They say Buddha, Confucius, Buddhism, Confucianism, Islam have different ways, but they are all heading towards the same destination. So people hold the religious events together, and they consider themselves as having a greatly broad view of faith. On the 8th of April, on the birthday of Buddha, the Catholic priest goes to the temple and bows down, delivers the greeting message there, and has a small Bible group meeting in the temple. On Christmas Day, when Jesus was born, the Buddhist monk comes to the Catholic Church and says congratulations on Christmas Day. How? How could they congratulate when the way to salvation is originally different? Within all of these, the religious pluralism is secretly hidden, and it points out about the idea of syncretism, which believes in mixing of the different religions. It is very scary and dangerous. But among the Christian leaders, there are a lot of people who believe in this religious pluralism and syncretism. There is only one truth. Also, there is only way of life. To go to the U.S., we cannot run to the U.S. just because we are good at running. We cannot swim to the U.S. just because we are good at swimming. We either need to choose to get there by taking a ship, or get on the airplane. To go to the heaven, we need to come into Jesus only. In John chapter 14, verse 6, the Bible says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." That's because Jesus is the only way of life. There is no other way. We do not go to the heaven by any other way. Only the blood of Jesus can wash away our sins. So Jesus shed blood for us on the cross, and died for us. We cannot mix the blood and water. Even when someone needs more blood, we cannot mix water to the blood. If we do add water with the blood, then blood hardens and the person dies. A true disciple of the Lord is the person who confesses that Jesus is the only salvation. The Lord wanted His disciples to be like this. Secondly, the other thing is the confession of faith. Let's have a look at verse 29. This is the confession of faith. The faith starts from believing. Apart from believing, we cannot build any relationship whatsoever with God. Prayer is important, but the prayer needs to be a prayer of believing, and then there comes an answer. Loyalty as well, it needs to have belief, so it becomes a blessing. The 1 John, chapter 5, verse 4, it says, "It is faith that we achieve this victory through our faith." Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "It is impossible to please God without faith." Countless historical events that have been shown in the Bible are the events that have happened through faith. An event of fleeing out of Egypt, passing the wilderness and until conquering the land of Canaan, a journey that took 40 years, are all the historical events of God that have resulted through faith. A woman that did not stop blood flow for 12 years, spent all her energy to get up and go into the crowd where Jesus was, and when she touched the piece of clothing that Jesus was wearing, her blood flow stopped. Jesus looked back and asked, "Who was that touched me?" Jesus said, "The power has been poured on to you, to whoever has touched me." What kind of hand is his hand? It is a hand of faith. Through that faith, the faith of the woman that believed that she will be healed, even if she just touches the piece of Jesus' clothing, the endless power of the Lord was passed on to her. Let us put our hands of faith forward too. Let us be people of faith. Every single day, let us confess our faith. Jesus is Christ and He is the Son of living God. We need to know that a person who firmly believes and confesses this confession of faith is a true disciple of the Lord. Then, secondly, what kind of life is a life of a disciple? How should we live our given lives? Let's look at verses 33 to 34. He has suggested two things. Firstly, think of the work of God. Let's read verse 33 together. God distinguished the work of God and work of people. Priority is important. We need to know what is more important. The Lord told Peter off because Peter did not think of the work of God as his priority. God told Peter off that not regarding the work of God as his priority is the thoughts that Satan gives. Because holding on the cross is the will of God. The reason that the Lord came to this land was to bear the cross and to save us. Sometimes, how many times, how often do we think of earthly, secular and worldly thoughts? We sometimes do not think of the will of God and we think for ourselves, because of the peer pressure and circumstances and the love for the things in the world around us. We actually think of these things a lot all the time. The life of a disciple should have the work of God as the priority. One day, when Jesus asked to follow me, one person said, "I will follow you, but I will say farewell to my family first, and then I will follow you later." The other said, "I will need to have a funeral first, and then I will follow you." And God said, "Who holds on to plow and looks back, that kind of person is not appropriate in the kingdom of God." God rejected these kinds of people. These kinds of people did not say they will not follow God, but their priority had been changed. Have a look at the book of Haggai, that has changed the priority in life. When he was having a difficult time, as a captive in Babylon, there were a lot of people that dreamt about rebuilding the church. Once they are free, they wanted to rebuild the church. When people were captives, they cried out and prayed for the church to be rebuilt. But once they became free and got back to where they were, their priority had changed. They delayed the rebuilding of the church and they firstly focused on building their own houses and earning money and were busy living their own lives in the secular world. When their priority had changed, the blessings that God has given them have also left them. In Haggai chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "You have planted much but harvested little. You eat but are not satisfied. You drink but are still thirsty. You put on clothes but cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. Why have the blessings that God has given them left them? Why did the blessings disappear? Because their priority had changed. Right now, let's reflect on ourselves. Hasn't our priority of faith changed? A very first priority needs to be God. God needs to be the headstone, and let God be a plumb line that sets the criteria, our standard of our lives. If the worship service is our first priority in our lives, we would not have a dilemma, deciding whether to go and listen to the words of God or not. We would not need to worry and be concerned about giving tithes, and hesitate in giving offerings. Let your lives be serving God, and let this be your life's absolute priority. That is a real life of a disciple. Also, secondly, a real life of a disciple is holding on to our own cross. Let's read verse 34. The Lord does not command us to hold on to the cross that we cannot bear, because He also gives the ability to carry it out. The Lord does not ask us to carry on to other people's cross. It is my own cross that He asks us to carry on. People have their own crosses. The work that they need to do by themselves, the mission that have been given to them, and the roles that they have been given to themselves, they need to commit and show royalty. It has been said that in serving church ministry, there are four things that are known as FORDs. FORDs are four most difficult types of work that a person can do in a church. These four most difficult ministry areas are known as serving in a church kitchen, serving as drivers of the church vans, serving as Sunday school teachers in a church Sunday school, and serving as cleaners in a church. Because these types of works consume physical energy, people do not early volunteer. But behind these kind of crosses, a glory of salvation waits for us. Also, carrying on the cross means, firstly, denying ourselves. Denying means a complete break-off and a complete disconnection. In other words, it is putting me down completely to the will of God. It is trusting God with all my heart. I am going to start sharing a story of one elder woman in the church. This woman had one son and they lived together. She always confessed that she will even give her life for Jesus. One day, she said to her son, "I lived for Jesus till now, so I was ready to give my money, belongings, life and everything for Him, but I do not know what else to give to Him now." So son replied, "Ma'am, this time, I have decided to go to Africa as a missionary." As he said, she said, "No way, that's the only thing that I would not allow," she shouted. That woman said she will leave everything behind to follow Jesus, but she still had idols that she loved more than Jesus within her, which was her love for her son. It is denying, leaving our stubbornness and our thoughts onto God's hands. It is going when He says go, and it is stopping when He says stop. It is a life of a disciple. Dear my brothers and sisters in Christ, also, today, are we carrying on the crosses that we have been given and faithfully following God? Have we not left the crosses behind because these did not align with my feelings, did not align with my circumstances and conditions? Have we not done that? Jesus says this, "I will pay you back as you have worked. You will harvest as you have sowed. I will pay you back and reward you with many things, as you have been loyal to me." That is what He said. There must be a reward for sure. He does not ask us to sacrifice ourselves only. Behind cross, the glory of salvation is waiting for us. I bless you all and pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will carry on the cross well and follow the way of the Lord so that your lives become the lives of the true disciples. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.